Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Hello all, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu from Rusty Quill Gaming and the host and director of Enthusiasm. Today, I'm here to tell you about The Program. The Program audio series is a science fiction anthology podcast set in a world where money, state, and God are fused into a single entity. Every episode is a standalone story featuring ordinary people inhabiting this extraordinary world. And for them, it's not the future that is terrifying, but our present. The Program is sometimes funny, sometimes poignant, but it is always smart. Find out more about the program at www.rustyquill.com or www.programaudioseries.com or search for The Program Audio Series wherever you listen to your podcasts. Have fun and enjoy the episode.
Hi everyone, Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Bruno Falcon, Brian Talby, Anastasia Keylor, William Dimmont, Abigail Lovett, Ariel Young, Jonathan and Gillian Kastner, Jared, Clark Levin, Jack, Cato and Jellybean, Rob Corr, Ollie, C. Jason, Grace Brandt, Dylan Herring, Rory A., Nicholas Schaefer, Harry Jones, Samantha Christine, AGVZ, Beery Goosey. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Welcome to the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell. With me today, I have...
Ben Meredith.
Lydia Nicholas.
And who are you playing?
Grizz Oldrick at Amsterdam.
Sasha Racket.
Although it occurs to me, Amsterdam may not actually exist yet, really, as a place.
Absolutely not.
Also, Sasha's actually who's asking.
Yeah, fair. Fair.
That's her Latin name.
That's her Latin name. Who's asking us? Who's asking us? That is...
Yes!
Oh,
so good.
If you don't immediately die, you definitely have to work that in somewhere.
That's genuinely happening.
So, as it stands, things are not great. You are currently trapped in the distant past in Rome underneath Rome.
So you're fine, it's the present to us?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
So it's going fine.
Sorry,
what are you talking about?
That's very deterministic of me. Oh,
we're all good.
Awkward. So you are currently surrounded on all sides by demonstrably evil, evil Cult of Mars people. There is a big pit with a bunch of chains leading into it, and you're in a big room.
Yep.
And currently, the last thing that happened is you all got surrounded, and someone started running away.
Yes.
And Cicero's doing something that we don't know what it is, and I'm really hoping it's something that's going to save the day. Oh. I'm really, really hoping.
This comes in riding a dragon.
I'm a bigger fan of Diablo Sex Machina, which is where Cicero runs in going, does this help? And it's like a lit barrel of gunpowder. Shouldn't be there, but he's got it. You don't know how he got it.
Cool. Oh, I didn't realise he was a cartoon character.
So, we are at the top of the initiative round, in which case then, Sasha, you are up.
Gonna acrobatics over one of them. So, we've actually got a little map here in front of us.
It looks terrible.
Yeah, it does look terrible. me and Grizzle are back-to-back in spaces, and then there's three basically surrounding him on one side and three surrounding me on the other, so there's six of them around us in total.
So there are six flanking you.
I am going to catapult over, or try to, the one that's like on Grizzle's side.
Yeah, yeah.
So that if I land where I want to and everything goes well, I am then
flanking
diagonally next to him and we are flanking several others.
And it'll get you a little bunch of our trouble.
Yeah.
Give me the acrobatics check.
Yep.
Now with these guys, it is possible for you to fail.
Yep. So I do have plus 18, but the ones always come when you don't want them. So let's see if I live or die. Oh my gosh. Okay, that's a three, but plus 18 is 21.
21? Ooh. Oh.
Oh, no.
Do you want to know the real sad thing?
It was 22?
No. You know when I said it is physically possible for them to get you?
Yep.
It was if you roll a 1.
Yep.
It is physically possible for them to get you.
Yep.
I think a 2 as well. 3 safe.
Hey.
Yeah! That's what happens when you min-max, people.
Yeah,
you min-max and you take a third-party feat.
Well, there's one third-party one which I won't allow, which allows you to do acrobatics to damage.
Yeah,
which
is
just
ridiculous.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Just nonsense.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the point of this one that has been high-risk, high-reward is just that she's only failed once. But then I only got a crit once.
Do you want your attack with sneak attack damage?
Yeah, obviously. So I've got 3 attacks.
Yep.
First one is plus 9. So that's 12 plus 9, 21.
Is a hit.
The second one's a natural 1. And so this one's plus 4. Oh my gosh, and a 2!
And you roll for the fumble, just
in
case?
I have, in the last, four rolls, got a 1, a 2, and a 3.
It's real bad.
Not good.
So, one of them is a hit.
Yep.
With the 1, you know what it was? It's real simple. You were swinging like you still had your ice dagger, and the weights are different, so you don't fumble the knife. You came close, but you don't fumble it.
Okay.
But yeah, the other two are just a miss, but you can give me the attack at least.
Being so useless, it's genuinely quite
this
scary.
This still might do for that.
For one guy.
Yeah.
No, that's 2 ones, a 2 and a 4.
Good. Total of?
I mean, is it even worth it? 8. That's ridiculous. Literally, in the last 6 rolls, 3 have been 1s.
The important thing is that the stakes are low, so it doesn't matter.
You're a statistical outlier at this point.
I mean,
you've been rolling horrendously in recent episodes, and it's about damn time.
I mean, this is level death.
Yeah.
Grizzop, you're
up. Hello. I will take 4 shots, please.
Where?
At the captain until they fall over.
I'm going to check. I'm pretty certain you might provoke just...
Yes, I am.
Every attack of opportunity in the world.
You don't need to check. I am.
Okay,
but
cool.
I'm better than these people, so I'm going to win.
We're surrounded by 6 people.
All of whom, by the way, threatened because of the weapons that they're using. Go for it.
Okay, so we've got 30.
Oh, yeah.
22.
They tore their armor off, yes.
I rolled a 2, so no.
No.
And then 16.
No.
15, 16, 17, 18 damage to the captain, which really should kill them because I've dealt enough damage to down a paladin.
Mm. Let me check. 18.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. That's a smile. I don't like it. He's smiling.
Technically,
they
are still... Yeah, no, they're down.
Oh, okay, fine. No. Doof.
Oh, is that from the first one?
Yes.
Ugh. Doof. Down. There it goes.
So second one
That's
is...
fine.
Oh, actually, it's going to be at the one that Sasha just stabbed.
Okay.
You don't know how rubbish that stab was.
No. It's 15 damage.
They are... Down.
Cool. Does a 15 hit the next one?
No.
Does a 16 hit the next one?
No.
Fine. That's me.
Okay.
Now I get attack of opportunity.
Six attack of opportunities.
No, five.
Five, because I just took one out.
Oh, five. Yes, you did. I apologise. Oh, I don't apologise. You should apologise to me. I love them. I birthed them. I made them from my brain.
They're mooks.
Okay. Like what is your AC, by the way?
21.
Hit. Miss. Rolls confirm. Hit but not crit.
Fine, so four hits.
Oh my gosh, I actually feel ill.
And they're using their special horrendous weapons that Alex loves. How many hit points you got?
Give me the total.
39.
I'm dead. I'm dead.
Yeah.
Oh.
Grizzop dies.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Now give it some narration.
Just like that. Just down, like that. Man.
How many hit points did you have out of curiosity?
24. So I'm minus 15.
So the shots go off. The first of the weapons plunges into Grizzop. And the second.
No!
And then the third and the fourth. All plunge into Grizzop simultaneously. One of them misses, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Because one of them, the one immediately behind you, the spear goes in the back of the head.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And comes out through the neck. Grizzop is extremely dead.
Okay.
Wait. This is the first proper character. Have a listen, people.
Oh my gosh! Too skewered for Sasha to even grab the body.
That was his character sheet.
Grizzop's dead.
Whew.
In front of Sasha.
She screams. She screams the kind of scream that would break the mics.
Fair.
That I'm not going to... Like, if you've ever heard a grief scream, they're not really something you can physically fake.
And they're not the kind of thing that you do down a mic, but
no.
Yeah. Wow. So that happened about 5 minutes into the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Don't provoke attacks of opportunity from six people simultaneously.
I wanted to kill the captain, I did. Mission accomplished.
Ben's like, I'm sat here going, oh no.
I love it.
The fortunate thing is that if anyone was going to get away from five people chasing her.
Yep, and that might be a good plan.
Yeah, flipping away.
So...
Oh, it's their turn now, though.
Yep.
Might be round two of that happening.
I need to check something. They're not going to be happy if they notice that you took out their captain. So what happens is all of the guards move to surround Sasha, and because of the way that their movements work, they are able to do so without provoking.
Okay.
They can just go round because they're so close already.
Yep, it's all 5 foot steps, I think.
Two of them get a full attack and the rest get a single attack.
Okay.
So, Ben.
Yep.
I'm escalating you
from
lowly player character, the heady heights of
I'm logistics.
Matt's gremlin.
Not a mass goblin.
That
one's gone.
No!
So, I'm going to do the single attacks first. What is your AC?
20.
Two hits.
Mm-hmm. She does not have many hit points.
Rolls confirm. Another hit, not a crit.
Okay. You're up to three.
She's not going to survive this.
Two misses. And another hit.
Even if you roll ones on that stuff.
Ooh, how many hit points?
She's got 17 hit points.
And that was as many as... Okay, so four hits did for me.
They carry specific weapons that have a huge variance,
mm-hmm.
So it is possible for you to survive.
Their strength damage
will
probably take it down to half.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know.
Like, I genuinely thought there'd be like at least some time to have like a chat about like.
If we both die, remember gods, other planes, afterlives. You know, there's loads
Sasha
of narrative tools.
Sasha doesn't worship anyone.
Doesn't matter.
The last thing that Sasha sees. is the final weapon flying towards her head, and then everything goes black.
How much damage did you do?
I mean, this isn't stuff I can reflex for half damage, is it?
No.
No. Sasha goes down.
Mm. How much damage did you do?
I assume she's dead, not it's unconscious.
Yeah, it's systemically important.
Yeah.
23.
Oh, okay. So she's only unconscious.
Merely suffering brain damage.
She has
that
been.
Isn't
no.
fudged either. She's you got
been
23
unconscious.
Damage.
I think canonically 5 times in the last week. So to her, she's just like, oh, again. Like, you know, the whale. That is, or no, oh, yeah. the box of petunias.
Yeah. Yeah.
As it's going down, like into darkness.
Oh, no.
Then it's just
again.
Like, oh, no, not again. That is sort of the. Oh, no, not
now,
again.
Now, the one thing you do need to remember, though, is there's not a friendly paladin with lay on hands to just bring you straight back.
I have, like, if Cicero has a potion, and I've got potions in my bag.
True.
But I assume she's out.
I'm going to be honest. Yeah. I expected this to last longer than.
I think that's minus 6.
Longer than, less than a quarter
23.
Of an episode.
Yeah.
Alex, I do feel like that's on you.
That is entirely on you. You could have decided to do whatever you wanted.
I expected more faff, if I'm honest.
No.
No. Like, yeah.
Have you met Grizzop?
And also, you made this very, like, overpowering from the start. But it's fine. Okay, so she's on minus 6.
You could have sneaked. You could have snuck. You could have snooked.
Like, it got to the point where we were waiting for a lot of things to happen in the corridor. But yeah.
Yeah. Sasha comes too.
Oh, right. Gosh. Was not expecting that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That's why I was happy to let you carry on from
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So Sasha comes too.
She's like, oh, again. As she comes too, yeah, there's a moment of like, oh, not again. And this familiar wooziness and the like wanting to spring into action because usually it happens in the middle of a fight. And. It's a second and a half before she remembers that her friend is dead, impaled through the skull in front of her.
Give me a perception check. You are taking so many penalties.
Oh, that was a natural one.
Good.
Oh, we started as we meant to go on.
Yeah, well, the world is spinning in a sort of nauseous horror.
Yeah.
Sasha is currently...
In fact, she throws up.
Sensible.
Currently, she is tied up in some way. Hanging face down with her arms sort of strapped out behind her. So she's currently in a very awkward position, hung down. There is a small pool of blood where she is facing down her own.
Only small? Gosh. How many hit points is she on?
Mostly it seems to be coming from the face.
Yep.
Currently, you will be on one hit point.
Okay.
There are conversations happening around you.
In Latin?
You are not able to make out words. You're barely with it.
Yep.
In fact... I'm going to let you know, even though you didn't really get enough perception for it.
no perception.
You get the impression that they aren't aware that you're even awake or uh-huh. anything like that. Like, you haven't been brought to.
Right.
You have potentially come to.
Mm-hmm.
But there is conversations happening around you that you can't really hear.
Mm-hmm.
Everything seems a bit louder than it was before. Like, obviously, there was the sound of battle. But more than that, there are the definite sounds of stuff down the pit playing up and so on. Eventually, you sort of drift out for a bit. You drift back in.
With more hit points?
With the same amount of hit points.
You drift... Amount of hit point.
You drift back in,
mm-hmm.
and there are definite sounds of huge creatures playing up from presumably that pit, like big, mm-hmm. loud roars and so
in
on.
In what direction?
You aren't able to discern.
Okay.
It seems to be echoing around all over the place, and there's the sound of heavy chains moving. You drift out again.
Yep.
You come to this time finally a little bit more with it.
With one hit point?
Nope.
One
just
hit
one hit point.
Point.
Remember, you're mechanically absolutely fine.
Yeah.
There is bright sunlight
Ooh.
Streaming in, which is what's woken you, like glaringly bright sunlight. And there are the sounds of huge movements coming closer.
Mm-hmm.
And you manage to sort of finally lift your head and see what's going on properly. Mm-hmm. The entire open ceiling
mm-hmm.
is open.
Okay.
It's a
Thunderbirds are go!
Very, very much, very much. It actually has more the sort of like observatory dome thing going on. It does have a dome that has opened rather than it being like full Tracy Island, yeah. the swimming pool pulls away.
Five,
but I will point
four,
out this
three,
is in
two,
potentially Nero's palace.
One.
Dragon!
Meritocrats are go!
So although there was a dome,
mm-hmm.
there probably is a very lush, verdant thing up above, and stuff are going to start flying out. So, yeah.
F.A.B.
So there is bright, bright sunlight pouring down into this room. And you can see that to your left appears to be a strung-up Cicero who is white as a sheet. Mm-hmm. And he is screaming, "No, no, what are you doing? No, what are you doing?" You can see, looking around, those sort of mechanical devices around. Mm-hmm. Now that there's enough light in, you can see the full layout. Mm-hmm. There are six of them, and chains are rapidly, like, flying through them. You know, like when an anchor's released? Mm-hmm. That... From all six of them, there's a few guards at each of them. And there is what appears to be a sort of battered captain holding something on the far side of this room. He really appears to not know what he's doing. He looks out of his depth and he's holding this. He's not moving with assurance. He's sort of like kind of a little bit overwhelmed with everything that's going on. It is not...
So wait, he's holding a batter, like a body or a weapon?
It's too far away for you to discern specifically what it is. It is something kind of glowy, but he is on the very far side of this room. It is small. Mm. It is... maybe, say, the size of, like, a glass or, like, a drinking glass or something similar like that kind of size. Bigger than a can, but, you know, smaller than a bread bin. I don't know how to...
A potion-y type thing.
You can't even discern, like, it's giving off light.
Like a lamp, right? Let's assume it's a lamp.
Let's assume it's some kind of lamp.
Yeah.
To be clear, it is not the captain that Grizzop shot. This is, appears to be a mook captain. Like, tatty armour.
Are we talking tatty... like the dull red armour?
Yes.
Okay.
So also, I'm assuming that they're on the gantry, they're not at the bottom of the pit?
Correct.
So is Grizzop's body just still there?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just left where he lay. There's Jupiter bodies all over the place.
I assume that that's left... far enough away that she wouldn't even see.
I mean, there is so much death in this room. To be clear, this wasn't a small fight that you all rocked up into. It was an ambush on a large number of people. Like,
there's tens of corpses.
Oh, it is a bloodbath.
Yeah.
So, Cicero's yelling all this. Yeah. There's, these bodies everywhere and so on. And I'm going to keep calling him the captain. He is clearly starting to be openly terrified. He's saying a bunch of stuff that you don't recognise. You are starting to make out the words of people around you, like the Latin in inverted commas, the potions are still active. Mm-hmm. And mostly it's stuff like, quick, move them, okay, release it. The one in the middle is starting to try and yell stuff in a language you don't recognise. Mm-hmm. Actually, I should confirm that. What languages do you speak?
Really just French and English and lip reading and sign language. But, I mean, I did also just put Latin because we levelled up.
Yeah.
Mechanically, she speaks Latin.
Oh, no, mechanically
fluently.
You speak Latin. He is not speaking Latin or any language that you recognise.
Okay.
Is it Draconic?
It might be.
Yeah.
The first of the enormous claws creeps over the side, facing you. Like, the claw is maybe 15 feet from you. It's massive. It's the kind of sizes that you'd expect. So the first of the claws creeps over the side. It is black, like sooty black. Mm. And it pulls itself up. This is a huge, like, enormous dragon pulls itself up and the head creeps over. Give me another perception check now that you're actually, conscious.
I mean, how low can you roll, Sasha? That's 5, so...
You are rolling terribly.
I know. You really are. Like,
I know.
Yeah.
18.
Merely 18. So, the creature is facing away from you, but you can see that it's in really bad condition. Mm-hmm. It has... clearly not been having a good time down there. The head comes up, and just because you're slightly off to one side, it squares off with the guard who's holding this thing. The guard is genuinely terrified, like shaking. He's trying to say some stuff and he's completely terrified. Like, he holds this thing out, and he's definitely under the impression that it should make a difference, and he yells something out that's probably in order. Mm-hmm. Something along the lines of, do this, I guess.
Obey me! I am your master!
At which point, it doesn't reach out for him.
Yeah.
Just it doesn't try to bite
tongue.
Him.
Yeah.
Takes a deep breath.
Just breathes, I'm guessing.
And it just breathes.
Yeah.
Just breathes. This jet... black, edged in white flame pours out. You are directly behind.
Okay.
You can feel blistering heat coming from it.
Yeah.
You have to close your eyes, just even though it's sort of black edged in white, that whiteness alone is it is genuinely painful to even look at, and your eyes close automatically.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to just go on forever, just this pouring roar of noise and destruction. And then you hear the sounds of other movements and so on. By the time you're able to open your eyes and the after image is disappearing, you see the first of the huge dragons leap up into the sky.
Mm-hmm.
One comes out is pure gold. One comes up kind of coppery. One comes up kind of silvery, longer, thinner. They're coming out rapidly. And then the last of them starts to make its way out. This one is much smaller than the others. It is...
little body!
It seems to be basically the runt.
Yep.
It is a brass dragon. And given your perception modifiers, I think you probably recognise it as, like, maybe a juvenile Apophis?
It shouts his name. Or maybe. Shouts that name.
I do have high perception. Over all of the noise and the clamour and so on, it jumps up into the air. They all start...
Alex hates stories.
Yeah.
They all fly up into... Mostly Alex really, really doesn't want to handle a full-time Pyrox. But yeah, they failed the perception regardless. So they launch into the air.
Mm-hmm.
With them gone and the clamour suddenly stopping, you can now see what's left of the room around
mm-hmm.
you. And by what's left of the room around you, I mean... the far side of it is effectively gone.
Yeah.
More than just there are...
melted.
I mean, yeah, like, all of the metal is gone, most of the stone is blasted, and a huge chunk of what appears to be garden and so on appears to have maybe
mm-hmm.
sort of slumped down into this. And with that...
yep.
Leaving you with just the screams of Cicero and the despairing cries of the guards that were on this side of the room...
yep.
We'll take a break.
Yay! Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! Woo! Yeah! Having fun!
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur Adapt collection at Ashley, in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
And I was going to say welcome back. It's not really welcome. It's more
I feel
like,
quite unwelcome, actually.
You really just... hanging around. No,
yeah, I've said goodbye now. I'm hanging around. It's a little bit awkward.
Like a bad smell.
Yeah. I mean, eventually, if you leave him there long enough, yeah. So the guards around you really couldn't care less about you right now. Everyone is looking up.
Could I do a combined sneak and escape artist?
Yes. I'm going to continue describing what they're looking up at, and then I'll get the roll from you. It appears like, you know, for a moment they're all looking up and they're like, oh, maybe it's all right, you know, maybe they are going to go and do... No. No, the first thing that happens is that huge black one. You hear another bout of roaring, another bright white sort of flash of light, pretty much immediately above where you are right now. And that's when all the guards start looking at one of them and going, oh no. And they all kind of start to scatter.
Yep.
Give me the rolls.
Okay, so then I won't be a sneak one, I'll just be escape artist. Only 12, so... 28.
Only 28?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you aren't going to just be like, done, but you are done within a minute.
Yeah.
You can basically start pulling at those bonds. It's clear that what they've done is they've basically done a basic job and then we're leaving it at that.
They haven't realised how many daggers she has on her. And some of them are hidden in bits.
A couple have been maybe taken, but...
Yeah, like the obvious ones.
Yeah, yeah.
There are things like... Some of these are, like, flat, clear... Like, so thin they're clear blades sewn into the, like, stitching of her jacket.
I mean, you've got advanced stitching methods they've never seen before.
Yeah, right? Like, there's materials in it. Like, the adamantine one, for instance.
I don't think they would have necessarily seen
it. Also, just the smelting methods.
Oh, yeah, it's completely like... You're from the future.
Yeah. Like, genuinely...
We're barely out of the Iron Age.
She probably just needs to twist her ankle and then one shoots out of the... Yeah.
So as you're undoing stuff, you get to have a look around at yourself and at what's going on. So Cicero appears distraught.
Yeah, well...
Utterly distraught. Being able to sort of turn now that no one's looking, you can see that you appear to be sort of tied to effectively some hunks of the railing which have maybe been fallen away and just propped up and so on. So you are held apart. You get the distinct impression you might have been a sacrifice. Cicero too.
And you're just too small. It's like trying to give popcorn to a bulldog.
They really weren't into the thing. Some of your equipment, the obvious stuff, is sort of laying around beside you. They just took it off you and threw it down cursorily. But yeah, you still have blades on you. You managed to undo it.
Yep.
And by Cicero being distraught, I mean you can't bring him to.
Yeah, okay. So, like, slashes through his bonds and then, like, tries to shake him. Do you know how to teleport? We need to get out of here. They will destroy everything. Nothing can be saved.
I thought killing Galba would do it. I mean, what were they thinking?
Like, there isn't time.
You can't just expect a random person to be able to control this.
Like, mate, we cannot.
Oh, God.
We can't. Like, we just need to go.
Give me a diplomacy check.
Goodness sake.
Really playing into Sasha's strength
to try and talk him down. Okay. If you roll well, I will expect more. If you roll badly, that'll do.
I mean, she has nothing in diplomacy, so that is a base charisma minus one.
Could you do an intimidate if you tried to threaten him with a dagger?
That is also a charisma.
Fair. I know, but you might have skill points in it. I don't know.
I'm trying to. No.
Fair. That's all a nope. That's a nope. Yeah. Give me the diplomacy check.
How can you roll this lot? I've even tried to switch dice. That's
so,
two. At least it's our natural one.
He's openly weeping.
Yeah.
And dropping to his knees. just wailing.
Just because it's the end of civilization as he knows it, and suddenly he's throwing his toys out the pram.
Okay, Sasha rolls her eyes and chugs her cure light wounds.
Go for it.
Which is calm. Oh my gosh!
I think you
garbage.
Cure three?
Yeah.
Just garbage.
Wait.
Hang on.
She doesn't have his stuff.
Ben is slowly digging through the semblances of...
But my corpse has four cure serious. So depending if you want to find Grizzop's corpse...
For what it's worth,
if
you
that
can
was
spot,
dumped near where her stuff was.
You can spot where you were previously, so it wouldn't be hard to find him, but there are bodies on top of where he... the place is...
A mess.
It is a charnel house... combined with a barbecue. It's not good.
Absolutely go and nick Grizzop's stuff.
So heading over to Grizzop then.
Because she's had friends die before.
Yeah.
And nick their stuff.
So heading over to Grizzop. The guards, by the way, are starting to... A couple of them are just stood staring upwards as destruction is raining out. Occasionally a body will fall from the ceiling down through, straight through to the pit and
Do
so on.
Do you need
on.
A sneak roll?
No one cares.
Okay.
No one cares. The ones that aren't just completely overwhelmed with, quite literally, potentially the fall of all civilized existence.
Not potentially, we know it is.
They are, so a few of them like running out through the tunnels and so on. So yeah, from now on, you ain't making stealth checks, I can just tell you now.
Okay.
So you head over to where you saw Grizzop fall.
So she, having been like repeatedly knocked unconscious, turned undead and returned, like, it's not like she has hope. Is that she has curiosity.
I mean, you've literally been dead and walking for a while.
Yeah, her organs have been outside her body and she got better.
Yeah.
So maybe paladins have some way of dealing with a, stab through the skull. Like,
you manage to pull, one of the bodies that is sort of gently covering him a little bit.
Yep.
And he's there.
Yeah.
Face down, tattered, gaping wounds. And his eyes are still open, albeit facing down.
She turns him over and closes his eyes and gives him a hug. She's, covered, I assume, in, goopy... I don't know what colour Grizzop's blood is.
Benjamin?
Well, I don't.
Yeah, I'll let you make the call.
Green.
She is, smeared in her own blood.
Vomit. There's red everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bit of green.
Yeah. She's smeared in red and green, and she is about as articulate as I am.
As the fires are licking up around the pit, there are screams and cries from up high, there are roars, there are explosions, and there is a moment of stillness for you.
Yep, and then she notices his kit and, puts him down. She's not, quite as Grizzop-y in the
Rub-a-dub-dub,
whole life.
Let's move on.
Yeah, it's just a trash thing. But it is. She's lays him very gently down, and then ruffles through his stuff.
Is you looking for something specific? You do have a bag of holding, so you could literally just take all of it.
Yep. He's got a bag of holding with all the stuff in it.
Yeah. So she takes a bag of holding, rummages through.
I've actually got four, but
she works out which one has stuff in.
The important
thing
is
my inventory.
Thank you. Yay!
I gave her the inventory bit.
Four times cure serious wounds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you're fine.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
she chucks one of them. How many hit points is that?
That one I'll double check. I want to say it's 3d8 plus 3.
Can you roll the. Is Grizzop's answer?
Yeah,
I can't roll.
It. I'll give it a go. See how it works.
It's 1d8 plus 1, 2d8 plus 2.
Yeah,
3d8
okay,
plus
that makes
3.
Sense. Cool. So, Sasha heals.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes! See? The suspicion. It real!
As long as Lydia never rolls another dice,
okay, so
Sasha might just make
plus
it out.
What?
23.
Okay,
23
she is now
back.
On 27, which
yeah,
is...
Yeah, just for reference, I rolled an 8, an 8, and a 4.
Yeah, that is the highest she's been on hit points for a very long time.
Grizzop's last gift to you.
Yeah, exactly. Genuinely, that's why I asked you to do it. Four times... Now we're on 3. So she goes over to Cicero.
He's in a real bad way as well. It looks like they've worked him over as well.
Holds his head in a vice-like grip.
He's not able to look up because
holds him and literally pours the potion down his throat.
Ben, could you roll for...
Lily's rolling for this one.
Oh, but I thought you wanted to heal him.
That was great!
Yeah, that is 17.
17? Okay, so Cicero, you can see wounds knit on him in real time as he gets into a far more ready state.
Does that in any way calm him down?
Yes, but he seems to be shutting down now.
Yeah.
Again, like, to modern sensibilities, he's just powering towards full shock.
Yeah. So she literally, like, shakes him and, like, do you know how to teleport? Is there any way out of this city?
I mean, we could take the tunnels, try the aqueducts, maybe.
Which way are the tunnels? Just point.
He's quite pliable. He just points more or less back the way you came.
Literally puts him on her back, mm-hmm. like a backpack, mm-hmm. and starts walking.
Okay. I am going to accelerate time.
Yep.
No one is down here. Mm-hmm. People have already run. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, the further, like, as you're heading out from this big atrium down back into the sort of undergroundy bit where you came from, mm-hmm. there's less noise. It's actually really deceptively quiet.
Yep.
You hear the occasional noise back from where you came from, nothing from above. Mm-hmm. Then one heavy...
Yep.
And then nothing again for a long period. It certainly seems to be calming Cicero a little bit.
Yep.
And he starts sort of monologuing.
Yep.
I don't know how to put it. Like, he's talking to himself. He's not talking for you. And it's just lots of stuff like... The goblin. It's the goblin's fault, because if... I mean, yeah, I mean it's a coup, but better the evil you know. I mean, get Galbra, because at least make him do what you want. You can't just...
Sasha
can't
puts just really... him down and says, like, if you say that one more time, I will kill you here.
Yeah, okay.
Like, grabs him again and keeps walking.
Okay. So, you eventually make it back to original where you came in, if you remember, which is that sort of sewer stairway.
Oh.
You could keep going.
I would keep going underground, definitely.
Okay. So you
I say I. She definitely would. Me, from a logical point of view, you want to be below the thing, and her because comfort thing. There's walls everywhere. Ooh.
Well, if you remember, the stairs lead to the sewers. They don't lead to the up and out. So it's a choice between continuing underground in this complex or heading down to the sewer.
Well, then she'd ask Cicero. Whether or not he answers, she'd try.
No, you seem to have got through to him finally. It helped that there was less... You know, everything is being destroyed before his eyes.
Yep. Which way gets us out of the city with as little time above ground as possible?
I mean, we could try and take the sewers. That'll take us a lot of the way.
Mm-hmm. Where do these go?
The sewers?
No, these tunnels. Because we're in other tunnels.
I mean, we're currently beneath Nero's. So this'll...
We're beneath the palace?
More or less, yeah. So, how it works. The palace is actually at the top of a small-ish hill. Okay? Yep. There are sort of tunnels and so on beneath that hill, mm-hmm. and presumably this enormous atrium thing, mm-hmm. which is sort of within that. Mm-hmm. The sewers are beneath the ground level and then led in. Mm-hmm. So these tunnels are sort of a similar level with them. You happen to come up some stairs, but we're not talking, you know, 15 floors or anything. Mm-hmm. So it's more that the complex is tied to the palace and the sewers are tied to externally. That's effectively
it. Right, cool. So then we go into the sewers.
Okay. You start heading down, and again, it's quite quiet. You get down to the sort of sewer level, that sort of squatted, very narrow, cramped, because it's not particularly well worked.
I assume can't carry this right.
It's fine. For what it's worth, he's doing what he's told. Yep. He's not even monologuing now.
Yep.
Which is good. So you start heading along the sewers. For a while, there's nothing. Then there's another big boom of explosion. And as a visual, I can describe it, which is you're going down this cramped... Have you ever actually seen the tunnels for these sewers back in Rome?
Not Roman ones, no.
Let's put it this way. They really were like, as long as water can get through it, it's fine. Yep. They didn't really make human accessibility that high on the priorities list, so they're a little better than cracks.
Yep.
But they still have manhole covers that lead down and ladders and so on. So you're heading along what's effectively a gash in the ground,
right.
In the dark, and very distant there's a bit of light.
Yep.
Comes closer. It's the first of the manhole covers.
Mm-hmm.
There's the drip, drip, drip of some blood coming from the manhole down. Cries and screams and fire above.
Keeps going.
Second manhole cover, same as the first.
Mm-hmm.
Third manhole cover, same as the first. I'm going to accelerate time
a little bit. And I mean, this is a zoning out and getting through it
kind of thing. It is horrendous above, by the way. Now that you're starting to pass by, like, the actual populated streets with their manhole covers and so on, there are cries, screams, roars, blasts, explosions, and you just keep plodding along. There's no one down here. And then you finally make it to the point where this at least specific one just stops.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a sort of turn to the left and so on, and then just hits a solid steel grating.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is a rusted sort of ladder leading up to a manhole cover above you.
Does a steel grating go anywhere?
It appears to carry on,
I've
but it is.
An acid flask.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that would be enough to go through whatever's.
Do you still have an adamantine dagger?
Yes.
Combination of acid flask and adamantine dagger. It won't be quiet.
Yep.
I wouldn't fret about
that. Doesn't matter. She's going to stay underground as much as possible. Partly for, like I say, logical reasons, but really this is a, like, comfort and, like, the comfort of enclosed spaces and also the. I don't think she'd be capable of dealing with another person.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
No,
like,
I get
that
it.
Just wouldn't be doable. In fact, it's quite a strange thing where she. Cicero's behind her. And this is oddly like a thing of. Like, I've actually thought quite a bit about the, like, whether she would force him to go in front of her. But he doesn't matter enough.
No.
And she's not quite in enough of a position to be like, I'm going to save this one. Because he said nasty things about Grizzop. If he hadn't said that, he'd be in front of her and she'd be making sure he was okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, watch what you say.
Give
sometimes.
Me a survival check, please, because you're navigating underground spaces.
So that's 5.
Okay. So you head through that grate and you start going. What you didn't hear is when you were talking earlier, I rolled the roll for Cicero. He seems to be handling it a little better than you. So you start heading through the tunnels.
Yeah.
You hit another grate, you're able to cut through with the adamantine, but having to take these turns and so on, it becomes...
Completely confused what direction, right?
Super confusing very quickly. Also, there's very little sense to these.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't gridded, they aren't... Like, they are a bit of a mess, you know? Mm-hmm. Infrastructure wasn't really a thing yet.
Yep.
A lot of long straight lines, but intersecting randomly, effectively.
Yep.
Cicero has a better job.
Uh-huh.
You manage to make it towards the edge of Rome.
Right.
But at that point, A, you're running out of sewers, and it takes ages.
Yep.
The destruction appears to be wholesale. It is still going on when you make it to the edge.
Okay. Uh-oh.
But eventually, you make it to literally a dead end.
Mm-hmm.
Cicero's like, I think this might be as far as we can get. And for what it's worth, you think the same, but he's been leading you the last sort of half of this, really.
So she sort of turns around and she says to him, like, I'm just going to walk out of Rome and... You're going to come with me. If you turn away, I don't have enough. I'm not going to fight you on this, but I'm telling you, if there's anything that you want to, like, save or anything you want to change, all of that has to wait until we get out of the city limits, right? Like, that is what we do now. That's what I'm doing. There's nothing left to save there. You got that?
Maybe we deserved it.
Maybe you did, but people don't get what they deserve, mate. Like, that has nothing to do with what happens to people. All right? That's not... Maybe you did. I can't judge that, but that is... That's not why. Okay? So, ignore the screams, is what she said as she, like, opens the grate and just...
For what it's worth, it's less here. There's a reason that you have decided, like, don't double back and keep going, like... It is less here. You can still hear and see stuff, but anyway, you head up the ladder. Manhole is heavy as, but yeah, it is movable. Chocker, you take 10 Pathfinder. I'm not going to make you roll for that. You both head up onto the outskirts of the city. Bearing in mind that the outskirts of the city has a wall to it. Had a wall to it.
Oh, okay.
So, you stand up and you look around. Mostly what you are stood in...
Wall is the one thing she's still really equipped to deal with.
The shattered remnants of buildings.
Right.
There is not much left here, really. There's a couple of, like, living people picking their way through the debris and so on.
Yep.
But ahead of you is a gash in the wall. You appear to have headed quite... How do I put it? When you heard the first explosions, they were at one end of the city. You've been going in the opposite direction of the city for a while.
Yep.
Then you sort of turn around just to get a sense of where you are. There are dragons still swooping across the city. They'll swoop down. One of them, she takes out a whole street in a go. Another one, they're being a bit more, you know, panicky. The black one, for instance, has gotten down to the level of trouncing individual buildings and is picking their way through. There are things moving across. You do notice...
Mm-hmm.
Give me a perception check, actually.
Yep. That is... 25.
Yeah, that's enough. You notice that all of them seem completely engaged, wholesale, in just destroying this place.
Mm.
However, you do notice that they seem to be having a bit of trouble with the palace itself, insofar as there have been some stuff.
Mm.
However, you notice there is a huge swirl of clouds sweeping around above, all focusing in on basically the Nero's palace.
Presumably the front, which we later found relatively protected, but not as good at the back.
Correct.
Yes.
So, that enormous shunt away, by the way, I'm happy to tell you, is most of the garden and the palace is falling into that huge pit over time and just making a big old slope. Yep. But anyway, as you are looking, lightning strikes once, then again, then 2, 3, 4 times on the palace, but quick enough that this is in a glance.
Yeah.
And then just a sustained bolt of lightning is pouring down into the palace. All of the dragons sort of turning and paying attention.
Blue sky lasers!
Blue sky lasers, yeah! As you're looking, the golden one tries to fly at the palace, and another bolt of lightning comes out, strikes it. Strikes it down, not out. Strikes it down. At which point, the other dragons all seem to be seeing one another. They all kind of get up, circle around. And then it all just goes white for a while as multiple ones attempt to just breathe at it.
Okay, this is more that, like, while you may want to tell me what happens...
It's fine.
Sasha wants to shut down and get out of here.
That's it. That's me doing is... Yep. I'm assuming you turn your back rather than just stand there and watch.
She completely turns her back and just starts trudging. And maybe, like, while she might have told Cicero to ignore this... She puts Cicero's in front of her, mm-hmm. right? And so every time he... sort of might be steering away from the crack, she shouts at him. But without him realizing, if there is anyone like that she could, like within a few meters, that she can grab and drag to
not really.
Get out. No.
Not really. There have been a couple of people. Most of them are either grievously injured
right.
or too far away for you to really do that, unless you want to really make a thing of it.
There's just nothing she can do.
Scale.
Like, there is nothing.
So the two of you then make it through yep. what is actually the shattered remnants of a gatehouse. So there are chunks of the wall missing, but at least here there's a road, mm-hmm. and you're just picking yourself across the debris.
Okay. She quietly throws up in a corner,
mm-hmm.
and then turns to him and says, "We keep walking." And they do. She just keeps walking away from Rome.
Okay. For what it's worth... Cicero joined you.
Mm-hmm.
There is all manner of wholesale sounds of disaster, extinction, just awfulness behind you, and you both just keep walking and you don't look back.
Mm. So, yeah. I think if there's anyone that she sees that she could grab and help, but...
At this stage?
It's the...
Not really.
Walking.
You're actually working your way towards the necropolis, but to be clear...
Don't know what that is.
So necropolis is, there is a very, very, very large sort of cemetery towards the outskirts of Rome and
so on. I
mean,
is that something that she would have seen when they came into Rome? Because it's like,
This is not a inhabited area. You are right. heading out into... The thing is, certain parts of Rome, yeah. there was a wall.
Yeah, and then countryside.
And then there was nothing there.
Yeah.
You are at one of those points. You are just heading out. There's, again, like I said, there's a section of sort of, at least it seems to be graves right. and so on, but there are no people.
Okay.
There's maybe, you see like a couple of distant people have the same idea, just yeah. running across the fields and so on.
Oh, she's not running, she's walking.
No, but I mean
this is a marathon, not a sprint.
I mean just leaving.
Sasha is going to wind up her spring-loaded wrist sheaths, going to put adamantine in one, and she's still got fire, so fire in the other. And she's like, right, mate, I'm not one for talking, but we've just... Do you have any friends? I mean, you know what's useful in times like this? Friends. We've got... Anywhere.
I might know a place.
Well, we'll go there then.
So with you disappearing off into the distance, I am going to do a time jump. But not 1,000 years and everything being fine.
Well, that's the main campaign.
Yeah.
That's just 2,000, I guess.
Yeah. If you want to listen to that, just like wait a week.
Yeah. It's the year of 1249.
I assume
everyone's Viking.
Fine.
We don't explain why. It's just a wonderful adventure. No. I'm going to jump ahead about 20 years, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to jump ahead.
You changed the age on Sasha's character sheet.
Yes.
I'm going to jump ahead to a...
matters.
Yeah,
that's fair. A secluded rural scene.
Mm-hmm.
There are some rolling hills leading towards the mountain. There are some woods. There seems to be a smallish river nearby. And we start from a distance, and there is some kind of estate. It is a kind of combination farm villa thing going on. Mm-hmm. It clearly is out in the middle of nowhere and self-sufficient. There is nothing really nearby within sight. Again, a bit closer, and we see that rather than it just being a farm, there's actually quite a lot of people there, more than you'd necessarily expect, mm-hmm. actually. And as we zoom in a bit closer, there's a lot of children.
Children?
Large numbers of sort of children roaming around. Some of them seem to be sort of playing and sort of laughing in a farmyard and so on. Some of them appear to be doing, like, manoeuvres.
Yes!
Like drills, things like that. Mm. And
they're having fun, standing on each other's heads.
Cicero is sort of there, pretty old by this point, and he's sort of wandering around. He's clearly just surrounded by children and trying to make them listen. They're mostly like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and then run off and do other stuff. We head towards the main building. It's actually a very sort of calm, serene place, although there's a larger amount of sort of weapons and armour than you would necessarily expect. Some of them are sort of like held in racks and so on. There's a few that are just...
They're blunted.
There's a few that are just sort of left lying around.
Mostly blunted.
So we head upstairs, and there is a very, very small child, actually, is seemingly being led into an office by two quite heavily armed men. They're quite dirty. They are sort of... They have the reek of maybe, like, mercenary or something similar. They're very travel-stained. They lead this child into the office, and on the far side of the desk we see...
She's not as scrawny as she once was, but, like, she's kept in shape. She runs around after people a lot. I'm all sad. Genuinely.
So this child, mm-hmm. the two guards seem to lead the child in. Mm-hmm. The child pushes through them quite forcefully, stands in front of them, hands on hip. Sorry, lady. Basically, these two said they want some help. I don't know if they're worth your time, but, you know, thought I'd...
All right.
Show him up. Everything all right?
Yes, all right. Yeah, you head off, little Maximus. That's his name. He's little Maximus.
Well, you've got little Maximus, and big Maximus.
Yeah. Gotta have him.
Are you coming down for manoeuvres later?
Yeah, I need to see how well your rehearsals have been going. We've got a show next week.
Right. Yes, we do. The kid sort of pushes through the guards, who look a little bit nonplussed, and then heads out of the office.
How can I help you, gentlemen? Throws a dagger up in the air, catches it. It spins on her finger. She literally catches it on her finger.
The two guards look at one another, lean forward, and go, "We hear that you're the best at you know, keeping stuff secure, and well." We want to hire you and all of it, really.
All right. I got my... She pulls down a kind of bit of paper. This is my... I think people are going to call them moral codes in the future. It's a new thing I've come up with. Let me know if what you need keeping secure, like, crosses any of these. Slight. And I'll get my team on it.
Thanks. As we head out of the office, out of the window, zooming across, and we see all of the kids are starting to be brought in for a meal. You see the horses of the two merchants that have travelled far, and we're just gonna pan out on this scene.
Some kid sneaks on top of the horse and starts doing somersaults from one to the other.
Well, I think at one point one of the kids is on the roof, but it's okay because there's an adult there looking up and applauding.
Yeah.
And we'll zoom out and. I think we'll leave it there for Sasha. Meanwhile, Grizzop wakes up. Yeah, he seems to be on maybe a bed of moss or underbrush or something. And he feels good, but more than that, he feels peppy, like caffeinated, like good to go, like raring to go, more so than he has in a while. Because even for Grizzop, you've been doing a lot, but this is more than well rested. You are ready to go. You are ready to do something. And you seem to be in a verdant but strange forest. You don't recognise it. The plants are strange. The animal, like, there's a couple of small animals distant that you don't recognise. It's lush, it's green, and it's brand new.
I try and pull out my bow.
You can. It's there. It's all good.
Right, I'll knock an arrow and start to see what's what.
Okay. You start heading up a gentle slope. There's sort of a fresh running stream and so on, and you see that the tree line seems to sort of break up past the slope and so on. You start heading up, and you realise that although you have enough to see by, it's actually currently night, that it's moonlight that you're seeing by. So you start heading up this slope, and then you make it to the top of the slope, and you break through the tree cover, effectively, and you get a lay of the land ahead of you. And it appears to be a completely untouched wilderness. There are huge, enormous soaring mountains off to one distance, snow-capped and far off. There's this forest that seems to stretch out far, far into the distance. You see that the forest peters out and gives way to plains and so on. And then off very far amongst the trees, you see a flock of birds suddenly sort of startle and fly up. And you see a enormous creature is loping its way slowly through the trees and so on. You feel good? The stars up above are completely unfamiliar to you. There are maybe 10 times as many as you've ever seen before. And there is a streak of sort of green running through what you would have thought of as sort of the Milky Way, but is a different shape.
Cool. So Grizzle will look up to the moon and just say,
right, so this is what's next.
And he'll scuttle off to hunt that beast.
Okay. And I think I'll leave that there. I think that's a nice-ish end. That concludes our sort of mini Rome arc.
I'm gonna cry now.
Yeah. We'll have the normal campaign picking up from next week, and we'll have
some
faces.
Will anything ever be normal again, Alex?
We'll have at least some players that you might have missed for a while. Bye, guys.
Bye!
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by Lowry Ann Davis. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at @TheRustyQuill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord via the website or on Reddit at r/RustyQuill. Thanks for listening. He's gone, Blin.
Okay.
My AC.
I feel so bad. I like genuinely. I'm finding it hard to play. I feel so bad. Grizzle just got annihilated.
Why? Genuinely.
Look, 5 minutes.
Okay, Ben. You might not have emotions, but like we've actually spent like a year with more than a year, 2 years, chatting to a little person that you are seem capable of just like throwing away.
That's the game.
At the point. The reason we play games, Ben, is to feel things.
I'm the monster. I'm the monster.
Most of the time, we play games to feel things to experience stuff.
What Ben is feeling is joy.
Now, what are you forgetting? What are you forgetting? I've got two other characters. I'll just move on. It's fine.
Oh, my God.
you are a psychopath.
Hello, all. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu from Rusty Quill Gaming, and the host and director of Enthusiasm. Today, I'm here to tell you about The Programme. The Programme audio series is a science fiction anthology podcast set in a world where money, state, and God are fused into a single entity. Every episode is a standalone story featuring ordinary people inhabiting this extraordinary world. And for them, it's not the future that is terrifying, but our present. The Programme is sometimes funny, sometimes poignant, but it is always smart. Find out more about The Programme at www.rustyquill.com or www.programmeaudioseries.com or search for The Programme Audio Series wherever you listen to your podcasts. Have fun and enjoy the episode.